Okay, if you're listening, if you're listening using the recording, sorry about that, but we fell out. Yeah, I know. For some reason, it could be my router. If this happens again, I'm gonna, because I got a D-Link router. But that's what it's what's strange. If the that's right. The server's not running on the same router. The server, yeah, maybe it's the router because we've been having some issues here. But the router in the basement's different as well, and the switch and all that. So, because that's straight off the servers, so different router. That's why the radio didn't fall out. So that's good. So I guess me, Fran, and the kids, they all fell out. Oh, okay. All right. Oh yeah. Okay. All right. Okay, we're back. So I don't know where I left off here, so I'm going to start this paragraph again because we're actually on chapter 10. It's a good thing it happened now because we could start the whole chapter over again. I think we're only like in a couple of sentences. And yeah, it does not, that's the, we're starting at the top here. So it's chapter 10, Selected Messages, Volume 2, page 85, and it's called The Visions of Anna Phillips. And it says, I know... Oh, and then it says, it does not bear the signature of heaven. And then it says, I know that we are living near the close of this earth's history. Startling events are preparing for development. I am fully in harmony with you in your work when you present the Bible and the Bible alone as the foundation of our faith. Satan is an artful foe, and he will work where he is by many least expected. I have a message for you. Did you suppose that God had commissioned you to take the burden of presenting the visions of Anna Phillips, reading them in public, and uniting them with the testimonies the Lord has been pleased to give me? Yeah, I could see why the devil was doing that, by the way. Ellen White's having all these visions, and everybody's under, you know, and people are starting to acknowledge her as a prophet, and she's getting some kind of fame, even though she doesn't want it. And Anna Phillips wants a piece of the cake. She wants a piece of the pie. She wants to be out there, too. And then Sister White goes, no. The Lord has not laid upon you this burden. He has not given you this work to do. Do not belittle the work by mingling with it productions that you have no positive evidence are from the Lord of life and glory. My dear brother, I wish to present before you some things concerning the dangers that threaten the work at the present time. The work of Anna Phillips does not bear the signature of heaven. I know what I am talking about. In our first experience in the infancy of this cause, we had to meet similar manifestations. Many such revelations were given, and we had a most disagreeable work in meeting this element and giving it no place. Some things stated in these revelations were fulfilled, and this led some to accept them as genuine. And Satan does that a lot, by the way. I mean, look at some of the psychics out there. You know, and they're none of them are really, you know, any kind of accuracy, but they do harp on it when they get lucky, if that's a term that they like to use. I don't know. Luck is a very strange word. Have you ever noticed that too, by the way? When something happens in the media, like somebody just escapes a deadly accident, and the media or the reporter goes, wow, you were so lucky. Or the person says, I was so lucky. And then if the person actually dies, they say, why did God take them? In both cases, God isn't acknowledged. God is acknowledged in one case to say that, oh, he took him, and that makes God look bad. And then when the person escapes danger, God's not involved at all. Again, in a good way, it's like it was just luck. It's ridiculous. Anyway, she goes on to say that God has not called Anna Phillips to follow on after the testimonies he has given to his people and repeat their purport. But such her work is and has been. Persons did exactly the same thing in the first experience in this cause. We had every phase of these false revelations to meet. How is it, my brother, that you have taken up these communications and presented them before the people, weaving them in with the testimonies God has given Sister White? Where is your evidence that these are of God? You cannot be too careful how you hear, how you receive, how you believe. You cannot be too careful how you talk of the gift of prophesying, and state that I have said this and that in reference to this matter. Such statements, I well know, encourage men and women and children to imagine that they have special light in the revelations from God, when they have not received such light. This, I have been shown, would be one of Satan's masterpieces of deception. You are giving to the work a mold which it will take precious time and wearing soul labor to correct, to save the cause of God from another spasm of fanaticism. And that's, of course, why this woman was doing what she was doing. So she goes on to say, well, then this next one is called Much Good and Just a Little Seed of Error. And that's all the devil needs. I mean, he could be 99% true and 1% false, and people will believe it hook, line, and sinker because there's a lot of truth in it, you know. So she says, do you not think I know something about these matters? All along our pathway to the heavenly Canaan, we see many souls that have made shipwreck of faith and in their false movements have led others astray through the supposition that they were led of God in special revelations. I've had to write many, many pages to correct their errors. I've been burdened and oppressed night after night, unable to sleep because of the agony of my soul for God's heritage, his people, who are in danger of being misled. And that's a blessing to hear, too, because I know I'm not the only one that goes through this kind of turmoil when people attack God's people. I know that some of you know exactly what I'm talking about, how you can actually get sick when you, or you can't get to sleep, or you're very concerned for God's, for Jesus Christ's bride when people come out of the woodwork, or even some people that used to be part of our number go out there and start preaching things and saying things that just simply aren't of God. And you're concerned for the people. But they aren't, obviously. She goes on to say, many things in these visions and dreams seem to be all straight, a repetition of that which have been in the field for many years. But soon they introduce a jot here, a tittle of error there, just a little seed which takes root and flourishes, and many are defiled therewith. It don't take much. The devil knows what he's doing. It doesn't take much at all. She says, oh, I wish that we had a far greater wisdom in all things than we now have. One thing every worker in the vineyard of the Lord must learn, that is, to practice the prayer of Christ, to move as one in Christ Jesus. Jesus prayed that his disciples might be one, as he is one with the Father. Now, there's another term right there that the one God theist can't get their head around. Jesus prayed that we, or even his disciples might be one, as he is one with the Father. But they say there's only one God. Because Jesus is one with the Father. Just like, what's the difference between me and Fran? Because we're one with the Father because we're married. Does that mean it's just a blob walking around with two heads sticking out of it? Anyway, she goes on to say, the enemy is at work to divide, to scatter. Now, as never before, he will make determined efforts to scatter our forces. Above every other period is unsafe now for us to move out in lines of our own. The truth for this time is broad in its outlines, far-reaching, embracing many doctrines, but these doctrines are not detached items, which mean little. They are united by golden threads, forming a complete whole, which are with Christ as the living center. The truths we present from the Bible are as firm and immovable as the throne of God. My brother, why should Elder R. and yourself pursue the course you have taken in regard to Anna Phillips without a greater certainty that the Lord has chosen her as his mouthpiece to the people, his channel through which to communicate light? If you accept everything of this order that shall come up purporting to be a revelation from God, if you continue to encourage these supposed prophets as you have done, giving the influence of your testimony to sustain their work, you will not be a safe keeper of the Lord's heritage. The warnings Christ has given mean something to us. And then she says to see Matthew 24, verses 21 and 23. Satan will work with all deceivableness of unrighteousness to personate Jesus Christ. If it were possible, he would deceive the very elect. Now, if the counterfeit bears so close a resemblance to the genuine, is it not essential to be on our guard that no man deceive you? See, this is why it's so important to read your Bibles. The devil has read it cover to cover. Now, okay, fine. Yeah, I get it. You're not going to become a theologian overnight. You're not even going to become a theologian in 30 years. It's not going to happen. You're not going to become a doctor of divinity either. But here's the difference. 1 Corinthians 10:13 is your anchor in which you can say, okay, I don't get all this. I'm scared. What am I going to do? You know, I don't understand. The whole Bible, the devil's going to be able to get me here. He's going to be able to get me there. No, he's not. He's not going to be able to get you anywhere if you put a concerted effort towards understanding the Word. Your God knows your heart. And if you're trying the best you can to read his Bible, he's going to keep you safe. He confirmed it in 1 Corinthians 10:13. The devil's not going to be able to tempt you in areas you can't handle. That's, of course, if you're putting forth the effort to try to learn. The Lord knows we don't all learn in the same pace. Some of us can get it overnight. Some of us can't get it in 20 years. He knows. He knows you're trying your best, and so he is going to protect you in that area. So don't worry. You can be on your guard to the best of your ability, and you'll be fine. Don't let the devil think, because you can't understand the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, that you're guaranteed an easy prey to him. No, he's a bold-faced liar. He's been lying since he was, you know, kicked from the kingdom. Actually, before he was kicked. He lied to, you know, a bunch of the angels. So she goes on to say, Christ enforces his warnings, saying, behold, I have told you before, in Matthew 24:25, brethren, preach the word. Call not the people to rest their faith upon certain uncertain things or to place confidence in the human agent. I have the word of the Lord. I have the word from the Lord. And again, that's why it's so important to read the Bible. Okay. The devil's only... Now, here's another neat thing that I realized over the years. Let's say you can only get, you know, 1/20th of the scriptures. Okay. You really understand about 1/20th. Right. That's it. Well, let's say you understand 1/100th of the Bible. 1/100th of the Bible is all you can seem to get at this point. And guess what? 1 Corinthians 10:13 says that's the only area, if the devil's going to attack you spiritually, he has to stay in that realm. He can't come over in areas you haven't studied yet. Because if you're an honest child of God, the Lord knows you're an honest child of God because he knows your heart. And he knows eventually you're going to get to those other areas of the Bible because you're trying your best in the ones you are in. And so the devil can only attack you in the areas you already understand. And that makes it that much easier for you, because you've already read his word. And so when these attacks come, just wait for the Lord to speak. He's going to speak. You're going to hear his word come to mind. You're going to hear the scriptures show up. And sometimes, as a sister that we just shared in praises, as attested to, it will come right out of you without you even realizing it. It will come flying out of your mouth sometimes with the Holy Spirit has that much control, with the bridling of the tongue, James 1:26, you know. Oh, that's nice. You think I should share that here? Okay, it says, yeah, here, okay, this is from the youth's instructor. It says, there is no power in the whole satanic force that can disable the soul that trusts in simple confidence, in the wisdom that comes from God. And then from the Great Controversy, 1888 edition, page 560, it says this, those who are earnestly, okay, not flippantly, not once in a while I might open the Bible up kind of person, but these are those who are earnestly seeking a knowledge of the truth and are striving to purify their souls through obedience, thus doing what they can to prepare for the conflict, will find in the God of truth a sure defense. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee. That's, of course, Revelation 3, verse 10. And it says, Revelation 3, verse 10 is the Savior's promise. He would sooner send every angel out of heaven to protect his people than leave one soul that trusts in him to be overcome by Satan. So again, see, these are promises mankind cannot embrace unless mankind knows Jesus Christ. Amen. Yeah, that's that powerless page on the page of the, because that, I've sent that to so many people that have been, because they always ask me for help. Their attacks, I says, well, read these verses from Scripture or from Ellen White. You know, a lot of people don't realize how much power there is in the love of God when it comes to his, you know, or how much the love protects us. I mean, you could be a Christian day one, your very first day. If you only know one Bible verse, that's all you need at that time. That really ticks the devil off, by the way. That's all he can work with. So anyway, going on, she says, I was shown Elder R before a number of persons reading from the professed revelations of Anna Phillips. A noble, dignified person was present, and with grieved expression upon his countenance, he removed the written document, placed in Brother R's hand the Bible, and said, take the Word of God as your textbook. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. I remember the first time I read that, I understood that that's where you got to be. Get that book. She says, those who search the Scriptures will find explicit instruction as to what God requires of them on points of practical religious life. You are making a mistake in calling the attention of the flock of God from the Word, the unerring Word of prophecy. Take heed what you hear and be cautious what you receive. There is need of caution, lest the minds of the little flock shall be found accrediting that which is not the genuine work of the Holy Spirit, like this, Phillips in her visions. She says, there is very great danger here. Satan is ever seeking to introduce spurious material into the work in order that he may mar the testimony and bring discredit upon the truth. He would mingle with it an element that would be a stumbling block in the pathway of God's people. The commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus is the message we have to bear to the world. The Word of God is not one-sided. It is truth to be practiced. It is light extending on every side like the rays of the sun. It is light to lighten every man who read and understand and practice its teachings. And I love this verse. James 1 verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Now, either you believe those promises or not, that makes all the difference. Because he really does keep his word. And when that eastern sky splits, everybody on earth is going to know that one. Even the wicked. All right, this next section, it's like one sentence left on page 88 of Selected Messages, Volume 2. This next section says, or it's titled, Believe Them Not. And she says, I have a message to you from the Lord. Brother R is not engaged in the work which the Lord would have him do. God has given to every man his work, and Brother R is stepping out of the lines to which the Lord has appointed him. He cannot see the outcome of this work which he has taken up. Anna Phillips is being injured. She's led on, encouraged in a work that will not bear the test of God. Anna Garmeyer was thus injured. Her father and mother made her believe that her childish dreams were revelations from God. And this is so sad. Well, like this kid I put on the website a couple of months, maybe even longer ago, this little kid, he was just making no sense. He was, just gobbledygook, screaming in a microphone as a four-year-old will do. And the entire church family, as a Pentecostal church, was going, praise the Lord, amen, brother. He wasn't speaking a lick of English. He couldn't understand a thing this kid said, but they were all praising this kid and making him think he was somebody. His parents are destroying that child, just like the parents of Anna Garmeyer did. She says, her father talked to the child as one chosen of God. All her fancies and dreams were written down as Anna's visions. She had figures and symbols presented to her, and had reproofs for her mother and for her father. After a scathing reproof, there followed the most flattering representations of the wonderful things the Lord would do for them. These things I was pointed to as spurious, a deception. They descended to the most minute and trifling matters, commingled common, cheap things with important subjects. The imagination was largely developed. There was a mingling of the sacred and the common. The truth of God was belittled, and yet some received these pretended revelations and carried out their teaching. A little party was formed who were apparently inspired by them, and the visions were declared to be more spiritual than the visions of Sister White. So hold on a second here. Let me get a water. All right, this next section is titled The Mingling of the Sublime and the Ridiculous. And she says, I have received from God the warning which I now send to you. Anna Phillips should not have been given the encouragement she has had. It has been a great injury to her, fastened her in a deception, or fastened her in a deception. I am sorry that any of our brethren and sisters are ready to take up with these supposed revelations and imagine they see in them divine credentials. These things are not of the right character to accomplish the work essential for this time. Childish figures and illustrations are employed in describing sacred heavenly things, and there is a mingling of the sublime and the ridiculous. While the work has an appearance of great sanctity, it is calculated to ensnare and mislead souls. Various things will appear claiming to be the revelations from God, but which flow from the imagination of a conceited and deceived mind. We had to meet these things in our early experience. There were youth and children, as well as those of mature age, who claimed to be led and taught of God, having a special message to declare. They were springing up on every side, having the truth on some points and error upon other points. For years, the message from God came to me, but lead them not, for they lead into false paths. God hath not sent them. And then, this next section, I think we should be able to get through it. It's titled, Test All So-Called Visions. And we're on page 90, Selected Messages, Volume 2. And it says, as the report has been quite widely circulated that Sister White has endorsed what has been written and circulated as revelations from God to Miss Anna Phillips, I feel that it is my duty to speak. I have not endorsed these productions. Warnings have been given to me in reference to them that they will most certainly mislead. And the warnings she's talking are from God. She says, woven in them will be statements that will lead to extremes and to wrong actions on the part of those who accept them. It would be well for our brethren and sisters to move more cautiously in accordance with the light given them. They should test these so-called visions before accepting them and presenting them in connection with the light God has given me. I see that our people are in danger of making grave blunders and premature movements. God says of these prophets that are springing up, I have not sent them. And they ran, and yet they ran, believe them not. But that which grieves me is that some of our brethren have associated the exercise of Anna Phillips with the testimony of Sister White and have presented the two to the people as one and the same thing. Many have accepted the whole as proceeding from me. And I guess she's got to speak. She's got to say something now because, you know, if they're out there publishing it and say, look, Sister White agrees, or it's part of her writing, it's not good. So she says, and when the result of such productions shall be seen in their true character, when falsehoods are presented as truths from God, and individuals act upon these things, believing them to be a message from the Lord, movements will be made that bear not the divine credentials, doubt will be cast upon the true work of the spirit of prophecy. And that's what the end result, that's what the devil's going for here, obviously. Get the people to acknowledge Anna Phillips' writings along with Sister White's writings so that when Anna Phillips' writings will fail, because they're based on satanic falderal, so they're going to fail, and then if they got Sister White all mixed in there with her, then Sister White's got to be false too. And that's what they're going for. She says, in the testimonies that God sends to his people will bear the stigma of these false utterances. These revelations are largely a repetition of that which has been before the people in publications for years, and yet mingled with this are some things that will lead astray. I have a warning to give to our brethren, that they shall follow their leader and not run ahead of Christ. And so many people want to do that today. Especially the ones with all those false, strange new doctrines, that so-called new light. They're going ahead. You know, Christ is not leading those people. Someone else, they're trying to run ahead of them, or some are trying to get that flash in the pan thing going on. And it's just it's frustrating sometimes because they can lure people away. Anyway, she says, let there be no haphazard work in these times. Beware of making strong expressions, which will lead unbalanced minds to think that they have wonderful light from God. The one who bears a message to the people from God must exercise perfect control. He should he should ever bear in mind that the path of presumption lies close beside the path of faith. In no case should he make use of extravagant expressions, for a certain class are sure to be affected, and influences are set in motion that can no more be controlled than can an impetuous horse. Once let impulse and emotion get the mastery over calm judgment, and there may be altogether too much speed, even in traveling a right road. Wow, it's amazing how much information she can pack into one sentence, isn't it? But then she goes on to say, she says, he who travels too fast will find it perilous in more ways than one. It may not be long before he will branch off from the right road into a wrong path. And for those of you that had a crazy, you know, teenager years like I did, it's very easy to lose control of a fast car, you know, or end up on the wrong path, let's say, because you've got no choice. I mean, especially if you don't have any brakes that are worth, you know, working with. And it's not just an analogy. I mean, it's just things that can happen when people run ahead of Christ in their studies, and they assume things, and especially if they start taking Bible verses and saying either they're not needed, or we can just rip them out altogether out of the Bible. You know, I guess they're taking their lessons from that which inspires Islam, because that's more or less the exact same spirit. She goes on to say that not once should feeling be allowed to get the mastery over judgment. There is danger of excess in that which is lawful, and that which is not lawful will surely lead into false paths. If there is not careful, earnest, sensible work, solid as a rock, in the advancement of every idea and principle, and in every representation given, souls will be ruined. The greatest care should be exercised concerning those who claim to receive revelations from God. There needs to be much close watching and much praying. Those who are acting a part in the great work for these last days need to counsel together in regard to every new thing that shall be introduced, for no one man's mind is to be left to judge of. Yeah, is to be left to judge of or to place before the public important matters which have a relation to the cause of God. And that's a very wise suggestion, because if any of us have an amazing new, you know, understanding of something, it's best to run it across two or three of our brethren, you know, or more actually, but as many as you can, and say, have you come across this passage in the Word, and does it hit you in this way as well? Because most people miss this or miss that nowadays, kind of a thing. And that's the best way to do it. Amen. Amen and amen and amen. Since we're like 1 minute to 11, why don't we stop on page 92, because it starts right off with a new section. It says, without sufficient evidence. Why don't we pick it up there next week? Hope and pray you were blessed by what you heard. It's Sabbath Eve. Right? Sabbath Eve. So if you can kneel, let's finish off in prayer. Your hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for blessing us with your presence as we read and learn from Sister White's writings and from the Word. We thank you so much for blessing us in these last days with the tools that we need to get ready for everything that's happening. It's amazing how much you love us and how much you give us to be able to get prepared. Forgive us, Father, when we sin, and cleanse us from all the unrighteous acts we commit. And thank you for blessing us with long suffering towards each other too. And Father, when those that used to be part of our number choose to walk away and ignore the counsel of your Son and your Word, we lift them up to you, Father. But at the same time, we ask that you place a hedge about them, as you did for David when his enemies came against him. Thank you for keeping your Son's bride safe, and for blessing everybody that's on the prayer list, especially those that are lost and those that are in need of healing. And Father, those that do the work, thank you so much for blessing them with a zeal in their hearts to go forward. But at the same time, please place a hedge around them and those that help them do the work. And thank you for the way you bless those that actually do and help those do the work for you. And again, to the best of our ability, we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior and King, Jesus Christ. Amen.